The Vampire's True Love Trials, A Nocturne Falls Short, written by Kristen Painter, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1. Sebastian knew Tessa was tired. She'd said very little since they'd returned from giving their statements to the Vampire Council. She sat in a chair on the balcony of their suite, staring out over the canal below and watching the sunrise over Amsterdam. The night had been long and grueling, with hours of questions and testimonies, and neither of them was used to typical vampire hours, which was what the council kept. But at least the situation with Evangeline was resolved. Whatever punishment the council meted out was their business. All he cared about now was his darling Valkyrie. And now that this ordeal was over and Evangeline was behind them for good, he was finally going to ask Tessa to marry him. Because more than anything, Sebastian wanted to marry this woman and make her his wife. He believed she wanted that as much as he did. He stepped onto the balcony. "Are you all right, love?" She glanced at him, her smile weak. "Yes, just tired and hungry. Let me order something for you. What would you like?" "Are you going to eat with me?"
"Absolutely."
"Good." She leaned back. "I need comfort food. Pasta and steak." Then she smiled in earnest. "And something chocolate." He laughed. "I'll take care of it." He went back into the suite and ordered everything on the menu that he thought she might like, then joined her on the balcony again. He sat next to her and took her hand. "Anything else I can do for you?" She shook her head. "I don't think I've ever felt so drained. Physically, emotionally, mentally, I'm wiped out." He nodded.
"Testifying in front of the Vampire Council wasn't easy for me, and I'm a vampire. I can only imagine how hard that was on you. But you did beautifully. You were intelligent and articulate, just as I thought you'd be. I'm very proud of you."
"Thanks." She squeezed his hand. "I don't think I could have done it without you by my side. I love you."
"I love you too."
She sighed and stretched a little. "I'll feel better after a good meal and a long nap."
"We both will. I just wish we could have seen more of the city."
Her eyes brightened. "You mean you would have played tourist with me?"
"There's nothing I wouldn't do for you."
He meant that as deeply as he could.
"We still can, you know. There's no reason for us to head back immediately."
She tipped her head, her expression skeptical.
"There's at least one good reason."
"Which is?" "Your sister-in-law could go into labor at any moment. You're about to be an uncle."
"Ah, yes, that. Well, I'll be an uncle wherever I am. And while the birth of my first niece or nephew is definitely a momentous occasion, I would much prefer spending time with you."
He cocked a brow.
"What do you say? Shall we recover for a day, then take in the sights of the city?"
"If you're going to approve my time off, then yes."
"Excellent. And of course your time off is approved. I'm on the board of directors at Harmswood Academy. If I say the Dean of Library Studies needs some additional personal time in Amsterdam, who's going to argue with me?"
She grinned. "Good point. But you should still probably let someone know." He pulled out his phone.
"I'll take care of it immediately."
This was just the chance he needed. With more time in the city, he could set up a lovely little dinner for two somewhere, then ask her the big question. He had the ring. Hell, the ring had been on his person since he'd bought it, so that no opportunity might be missed. Tessa stood and stretched again. "I'm going to take a quick shower before the food arrives."
"All right."
He lifted the phone to his ear. She bent and kissed him, her touch soft and lingering. "Don't get into any trouble while I'm gone."
"I'll do my best."
She traipsed off as his brother Hugh answered.
"Sebastian, how did it go?"
"It was arduous. You know how thorough the council can be. But it's done, and our end of things is finished."
His brother grunted. "Good. Any idea what Evangeline is going to get?"
"Could be 5 years. Either way, she's no longer my concern." We're all glad you're free of that woman.
No more than I am.
Hugh laughed. Yes, I suppose that's true. And Didi, how did she do?
Fine.
Their grandmother had accompanied Sebastian and Tessa since a very old friend of hers, and the vampire who'd sired her, was on the council.
I actually think she enjoyed testifying. Running Evangeline down has always been a hobby of hers.
Sebastian snorted.
She's probably disappointed those days are over.
I doubt that.
Well, you can ask her. She's on her way home. Didn't want to miss her first great-grandchild arriving. Speaking of, how's Delaney? Am I an uncle yet?
Not yet. I promise I'll let you know as soon as possible. Do you have news to share with us?
Sebastian sighed, knowing exactly what his brother was talking about.
No, but we're going to stay in Amsterdam a few more days, which is why I called, so that you can square everything at Harmswood on Tessa's behalf.
I'll take care of it.
Good. While we're here, I plan on taking her out for a romantic evening and finally asking. With this Evangeline business behind us, I feel confident she'll say yes.
We all hope that. Tessa is a remarkable woman, far better than any of us imagined you'd ever do.
Now see here,
Hugh laughed.
Huh. You're lucky to have her, and you know it.
No argument there.
The suite's doorbell rang. Sebastian stood.
On that note, our dinner has arrived. All the best to Delaney.
I'll tell her. Best of luck to you as well.
Thank you.
Sebastian hung up and headed in. Tessa walked out of the bathroom in a cloud of steam and wearing a hotel robe. She rubbed at her damp hair with a towel.
Was that room service I heard?
He nodded. I'm just letting them in now. Do you want to eat on the balcony or in the room?
She smiled. In bed.
He grinned in return. That must have been some shower.
She laughed and headed past him toward the bedroom.
It was pretty good. Perked me right up.
He opened the door for room service.
Maybe he'd ask her tonight.
Come in.
The server pushed the cart through the door.
Where would you like it?
Right here is fine.
Sebastian wasn't about to let a strange man, hotel employee or not, into their room while Tessa was dressed in nothing but a robe.
Very good, sir.
Sebastian waited until the man parked the cart, then signed the bill, handed the man some euros, and shut the door after him. Sebastian pushed the cart into the bedroom. Tessa was sitting on the bed, pillows propped behind her, and looking very much the goddess he considered her to be. In his best imitation of Greaves, his rook, he bowed and said,
"Your dinner is served."
She laughed.
"I didn't realize this hotel had butler service, or that the butlers they hired were so handsome."
He straightened, barely able to keep from smiling at her sweet words. Despite her generosity with them, compliments were still a rare thing in his world. If she didn't marry him, and soon, he wasn't sure what he would do.
Steak, baked potatoes, Brussels sprouts, pasta in cream sauce with prawns, and...
He pointed to the container chilling in the accompanying ice bucket.
Chocolate mousse with a side of ice cream.
Also chocolate?
Is there any other flavor?
Her smile was contagious.
You do take good care of me.
It's all I want to do. I love you, Tessa.
Her eyes rounded slightly, and her lips parted.
I love you too, and I love what we have.
He opened his mouth again, the words "marry me" on his tongue, but her phone rang and interrupted him. They'd both turned their phones back on as soon as they'd left the hearing because of the impending birth. Tessa glanced at the display and paled.
"Delaney?"
he asked.
She shook her head. "No,"
she swallowed.
"My mother."
"Answer it."
She picked up the phone and swiped her finger across the screen.
"Hello?"
Sebastian left her to talk and walked back out onto the balcony. As soon as she was done with this call, he was asking her. There was no point in waiting any longer. He pulled the ring from his trouser pocket and opened the velvet box. Tessa hadn't been overly fond of the showy diamonds she'd worn when she was pretending to be his fiancée, so he'd opted for something a little different. With the help of the fey jeweler in town, Willa Iskov, Sebastian had chosen a large Ceylon sapphire set in a halo of white diamonds with a few more trailing down the band. It was sophisticated and elegant and beautiful in a quiet way, much like Tessa. He smiled at the thought of this ring on her hand. There was nothing he wanted more in the world than to be with her for the rest of his life, which was going to be a very long time. He put the ring back in his pocket and leaned on the stone railing, his smile fading a bit. What if an eternity with him was more than Tessa could face? They hadn't talked about marriage in a while, not after deciding that they needed to get to know each other better. And it was only a few weeks ago that she'd moved back into the main house after living in the guest house for the last 7 months. Would she think they knew each other well enough now? If she had any concerns, he was sure he could ease them. He dropped his head and stared into the canal below. He'd had one woman he couldn't get rid of. Now he had one he wasn't sure he could keep. What if she said no? His old fears about being inadequate rose up inside him. What was wrong with him? They loved each other. That was clear. He needed to stop being so foolish and just... Footsteps behind him made him turn. Tessa stood in the doorway, her robe pulled tight and her arms wrapped around herself. The look on her face was a mix of reluctance and resignation. "Everything all right?" he asked. She leaned against the doorframe. "I don't know. No. I mean, yes, it will be, I think." He gave her a quick smile. "Can you explain that?" "My parents talked to my sister, and Jenna let it slip that I'm in Amsterdam."
"And that's not good?"
She sighed. "They're in Paris, and they want me to join them there immediately."
"We can do that."
"The thing is, my parents don't know about you. I haven't been hiding you from them. It's just that they travel so much that Jenna and I rarely see them or talk to them. And on those rare occasions when I have spoken to them, it just hasn't come up."
"I see."
"No, you don't. I plan to tell them about you after we..." She bit her lip.
"After we what?"
Her smile was tight and apologetic. "After we got engaged. That way it was done and we'd be safe and..."
"Safe? I don't understand."
He pulled the ring out of his pocket and opened the box.
"And just so you know, I was planning on asking you tonight. Now that this Evangeline business is out of the way, I thought it was high time we got on with our future."
She sucked in a breath and put her hand to her mouth. "Oh, Sebastian, it's beautiful. And of course I will marry you. But there are some things in motion." He pulled her into his arms and kissed her with every ounce of joy flowing through him.
"Everything else can be worked out."
She stared up at him. "I hope so." He slipped the ring on her finger. It was a perfect fit.
"What do you mean?"
She held her hand out, studying the gem he'd just placed there. "There's so much to explain. I don't know where to start."
Something dreadful was coming. He could feel it.
He held on to her arms, needing to be connected to her.
"Boil it down. Tell me the most important part."
She swallowed and met his gaze. "My parents have found me a husband." Tessa settled into her seat on the train while Sebastian handled the bags. He hadn't balked or hesitated when she mentioned seeing her parents, even after she dropped the bombshell that her parents had promised her hand to another man. Instead, he'd gotten on the phone and booked the trip, no questions asked. It was just a done deal. He was everything good and right and wonderful in her life, but she could see the doubt in his eyes. He didn't really understand why she hadn't told her parents about him, and he was questioning what that meant. She hated that she'd made him feel like that, but he'd understand more when he met her parents and realized how much tradition meant to them. Of course, there was always the chance that her parents wouldn't stand by tradition, that they would just meet him, give their blessing, and Gunther Henriksen would be forgotten. But there was very little chance that would happen. Not after the conversation she'd had with her mother. Tessa closed her eyes, hearing Magna's voice in her head. "Gunther is a lovely man. He never really clicked with being a berserker, but he's made a good life for himself.
He's got the second largest insurance firm in French Lick, Indiana.
Tessa had groaned. French Lick did not sound like a place she wanted to live. It sounded vaguely obscene. She was sure it wasn't, but still. Her mother had put on the hard sell for Gunther after Tessa's less than happy response.
Tessa, you should be pleased that a man like Gunther is interested in you.
You mean because I turned my back on being a Valkyrie?
It wasn't something her parents liked to talk about, so her mother's answer had taken a moment.
Frankly, yes. I'm not interested. You don't have a choice. He's already completed the 7 challenges. And beautifully, I might add. And your father and I have given him our blessing. All that remains now is for him to formally ask you.
What?
Well, it's not as if you're engaged to anyone else. You just said so yourself.
Tessa opened her eyes. Therein lay the nut of it. Her parents had thought she was going to be alone for the rest of her life. So when Gunther had come along, they jumped at the opportunity to make her life better. After all, Gunther was well off, willing to overlook her somewhat sullied past, and he was a berserker, the trifecta of sons-in-law. Magna had even texted a picture, as if that was going to sway Tessa. Berserkers were generally handsome men, large and muscled with the kinds of physiques most NFL linebackers would kill for. From Gunther's picture, it was clear why being a berserker hadn't worked out for him. He was barrel-chested and chicken-legged. The combination made him seem on the verge of toppling over at any moment. And with a berserker's mammoth sword in his hand, that very well could be what happened. Which would explain why he'd gone into insurance. Very few reasons to brandish a sword in that line of work. Tessa had explained to her mother that she already had a man in her life. Her mother had laughed, realized her daughter was being serious, and insisted that Tessa bring this man to Paris for her and Den, Tessa's father, to meet. Which was why they were on the train. Sebastian sat down in the seat next to her, in all his lean, muscled, perfectly proportioned glory.
"We'll be there in less than 4 hours."
She nodded and took his hand. "Thank you for handling all this, and for being so willing. I realize it's not what you had planned."
"I like Amsterdam, but I like Paris, too. Whether I spend the next week there or here, so long as I'm with you, I don't care. The company is what matters."
"And you're really not bothered about meeting my parents, or the fact that they're trying to marry me off to another man?"
He smiled. "I'm happy to meet them. And if anyone understands old-fashioned sensibilities, it's me. We'll get this whole thing sorted out."
"True."
She settled back against the plush seat and sighed. He twisted to face her.
"Are you worried that they won't like me?"
She kept her gaze straight ahead.
"I honestly don't know what to think. I don't think they'll care too much that you're not a berserker. But then again, my parents are a strange mix of old school and modern. I can never predict what they'll do."
Which was what worried her the most.
"And if they don't approve of me, what then?"
She finally looked at him, at his handsome face, at his eyes filled with sudden worry. Freya, help her. She loved this man so much it hurt.
"Then they'll have to figure out a way to get past that, because I'm not going to change the way I feel. I don't need their approval to love you."
To marry him, though, that was a slightly different story.
"And I'm very sorry I didn't tell them about you right away."
"So sorry." "I appreciate that," he smiled. "But you'd like them to approve, wouldn't you?"
She nodded. "I would. It would certainly make things easier. Is that awful?"
"No. Do you think this Gunther fellow is going to put up much of a fuss when he finds out you're not marrying him?"
"I don't have a clue. But that's my parents' mess to clean up."
"All right, then." He shook his head, clearly amused. "Do you need anything? There will be a meal service, but I can get you something from the bar if you want a drink. I do."
"No, I... Actually, yes, a drink would be good. Wine."
He leaned in and kissed her cheek.
"Don't be nervous. I know how to make a good impression."
"I'm not worried about that."
He stood.
"Be right back."
She watched him go, took note of some of the other women in the train car watching him as well. There was something about his presence that made him instantly attractive to a certain kind of female. And lately, he didn't scowl nearly as much, which broadened his fan base. Although she didn't mind the scowl, she loved Grumpy Sebastian as much as she loved Happy Sebastian. All of his facets were just fine with her. He was the most remarkable man. Smart, funny, caring. Hard to believe they'd met because he'd needed someone to pretend to be his fiancé. And now, she might actually fill that role in truth. She twisted her hands together. It just hinged on what happened in Paris. If only Jenna hadn't let slip where Tessa was, this whole meeting could have been put off until after she and Sebastian were firmly engaged. But of course she hadn't, and Tessa really couldn't blame her sister. Jenna already felt bad enough based on the apologetic text Tessa had gotten from her. She was genuinely excited that Tessa had found someone so perfect. She'd been skeptical about Sebastian at first, but she'd really warmed up to him over the last 8 months. Too bad Jenna hadn't also told their parents about Sebastian. But Jenna had thought that news ought to come from Tessa herself. When being Sebastian's intended had just been an act, Tessa hadn't given a second thought to the consequences of her parents finding out. But the act was over, and things were very real between them. The kind of real that made her heart beat faster when she was in Sebastian's arms. The kind of real that had her thinking about baby names. She glanced at the ring on her finger. The kind of real that meant forever. She exhaled and looked out the window. The train's sleek red exterior matched the red upholstered seats. She ought to be taking pictures and enjoying her first European train trip. Instead, she was worrying about whether or not her parents were going to put Sebastian through the ringer, and how he'd do in that ringer. It was a valid concern, but it was also sucking the joy out of what should be some very pleasurable moments. She resolved to stop worrying. Maybe nothing would come of it. Maybe when Sebastian met her parents, they would see the folly of promising her hand to a man she'd never met, and they'd all have a good laugh about it. Sebastian returned with a glass of wine for her and whiskey for himself. He handed her drink to her, then sat. "Penny for your thoughts? I don't think they're worth that much." She smiled at him, very much wanting to be in the moment and not in her head. She clinked her glass against his. "Thank you again for arranging all this." He shrugged.
"The concierge helped rather a lot. I must confess I miss Greaves' efficiency and organization."
She laughed. "You miss it? How can you tell it's gone? You're the most efficient, organized person I know." Sebastian's rook, Greaves, had stayed home to look after Duncan, Tessa's cat. He'd gone from kitten to teenage nuisance in the last 8 months. His antics and energy were highly amusing and enough to wear out even the most tireless supernatural. Greaves adored the cat as much as Tessa did.
"I do my best."
Sebastian sipped his drink and went silent for a moment.
"Is everything all right? Between us, I mean."
A wash of sorrow passed over her that he would think that was even a possibility. She realized her worrying was coloring her mood. Enough. She smiled and looped her arm through his. "Everything is perfect between us. I'm just concerned about how everything is going to go down with my parents, but it's going to be fine. I promise that whatever worrying I've been doing is about them, not you. Never you." He studied her for a second, then nodded, and his expression relaxed.
"Parents can be difficult, I suppose."
He had no idea. She leaned her head on his shoulder. "It must be tough for you, seeing as how your parents have been gone for so long."
"True. But I remember what it was like to want them to be happy with me."
He kissed the top of her head.
"Anything I should know about your parents?"
"Well, my mother is a Valkyrie, and my father is a Berserker. They've both served as trainers in the Ragnarok Guard, but they retired from that life about 7 years ago, and now just travel the world. They like new experiences as much as they like tradition."
"Then we should get on fine."
Tessa patted his arm. "I hope so." And she did, more than anything. Chapter 2. Sebastian tipped the bellman who'd carried their bags up to their suite, then shut the door. The train ride had been pleasant enough, and after he'd reassured Tessa that all would be well, there hadn't been much more conversation about meeting her parents. But he wasn't sure all would be well. He hoped it would be, of course, but every particular type of supernatural had their own customs and expectations, especially when it came to marriage, even more so when it came to marriage between one of their own and an outsider. Add in the fact that her parents had already matched Tessa with another man, one who was one of their own, and things could get very dicey indeed. He walked into the bedroom where Tessa was unpacking. He'd been a bit of an outsider most of his life, so this situation shouldn't be anything he couldn't handle. But then again, her parents might genuinely expect Tessa to throw him over and agree to their match. There was no telling how Tessa's father would react when Sebastian asked for her hand in marriage. The man could tell him to get lost, or flat out say no, or insist Tessa marry this Gunther. Sebastian was prepared for any of those outcomes. Taking care of the family's finances had taught him to look ahead for all potential scenarios. He understood that sort of broad thinking when many men might not. But more than anything, he wanted his marriage to Tessa to have the best start it could. Her parents' blessing wasn't just important, it was necessary. "Did you text them that we've arrived?" She hung a jacket in the closet and turned. "I did. They want us to meet them at the restaurant at 8. She smiled tentatively. "Are you nervous?"
"No." "Maybe a little, but he wasn't going to let her know that."
"I'm looking forward to it."
"Then you're braver than I am."
She bit her lip.
"What are you wearing?"
"My gray suit. Is that all right?"
"It's perfect. You always look good. I wasn't questioning your choice, just curious."
He went to her and slipped his arms around her waist.
"And what will you be wearing? The little black dress?"
"I was saving that for a special occasion."
He shrugged. "This seems special enough."
"I meant an occasion that's just us."
"Nothing says you can't wear it again, and it's stunning on you."
She smiled. A tiny one, but the response pleased him.
"Okay, I'll wear it.
Might throw my parents a bit. I don't think they've seen me in anything but my boring librarian clothes."
"Then it will be good for them to realize how much you've changed and become your own woman these past months."
"Thanks to you."
He kissed her and let her go to start his own unpacking.
"No, you're the one who made the change."
"But you gave me the job that made it possible for me to afford nicer things. And really, Jenna had a hand in it too. Her little makeover helped me see that classic doesn't have to mean boring. I have both of you to thank for my new confidence."
He unzipped his garment bag and took out his suit. If Greaves were here, he'd probably want to press it.
"Whatever the reason, I like everything about you, including how you dress. I especially like those tight jeans you favor."
"Sebastian!" She laughed.
"I guess I know what I'm wearing tomorrow on our museum tour." He looked at her, brows lifted.
"Then you should know we may be getting a late start."
"Your eyes are glowing."
She laughed and dipped her head as her cheeks reddened.
"And you should know I could be talked into postponing that tour for a day in favor of other activities."
He straightened, his suit forgotten, his need for her the only thing on his mind.
"Text your parents. Tell them we're going to be late."
She shook her head.
"We can't be late. Not for this dinner."
He shoved everything off the bed and onto the floor, causing a little excited gasp to slip from her lips. He started loosening his tie.
"Then we're already wasting time."
He made every second count, and when they eventually arrived at the restaurant, one of those quaint bistros tucked into every corner of the city, they did so with 1 minute to spare. That minute had been gained only because they'd taken a little less care with their appearance than they normally would have, although he thought the look suited Tessa. Her hair was slightly wild, her skin flushed, and her eyes glazed with bliss. And all because of him. Yes, he liked that look on her very much. Her parents might not, however. He stopped them before they stepped inside.
"Tessa, you said your parents are only old-fashioned about some things. Will they, that is..."
She tilted her head to the side. "Will they be upset if they figure out what we were doing before we got here?" Her eyes twinkled. "No, not once they figure out that we are very much in love and committed to each other."
"That's a relief."
She reached up and adjusted his tie. "Why, do I look disheveled?"
"You look beautiful. But one might say there is a distinct glow about you that comes from engaging in certain physical activities."
She grinned. "How do you know it's not just because I'm happy?"
"Because I was engaged in those certain physical activities with you."
She leaned up and kissed him. "Yes, you were. And if they figure it out, they figure it out.
You seem at peace with whatever happens next. I'm glad."
Her smile faded a bit. "We'll get through it, right?"
"Right." He opened the door for her. "After you, my darling."
She walked through, chin up, his beautiful warrior goddess. He followed her into the dining room, where her parents were already at the table. "Mom, Dad, this is Sebastian. Sebastian, these are my parents, Magna and Den." Her parents stood. Her mother fit the description of warrior goddess too, although perhaps in a fiercer, starker way. Her short, bright blonde hair framed serious blue eyes and sharp but beautiful features. Her smile was kind, giving Sebastian hope. He extended his hand.
"Mrs. Blythe, it's my great pleasure to meet you."
She shook his hand, her grip firm. "And you as well, Sebastian, but please call us Magna and Den." Then he turned to Tessa's father, who was the largest man Sebastian had ever seen. But then he couldn't recall meeting a berserker before. The man wasn't the largest just because he was tall, but because he was also wide, everywhere. His chest, his torso, his legs. In fact, there didn't seem to be much distinction between the man's head and neck. His ice-blue eyes were deep-set, and stubble covered his jaw. Sebastian pasted on a smile he didn't quite feel and stuck his hand out.
"Den, a pleasure to meet you, too."
Den's handshake made Magna's seem like a child's. Sebastian's hand felt trapped in a vise made of flesh-covered steel. He squeezed back. He wasn't exactly a weakling, but even his best effort felt ineffectual against Tessa's mountain of a father.
"So you're the man in my daughter's life. We weren't sure if you were real or not."
Den pulled Sebastian closer, his mouth a thin, hard line.
"Are you keeping her happy?"
"It's my endeavor every day. And as you can see, I am very much real."
Sebastian thought his fingers might be going numb.
Or they'd been broken and the nerves severed.
Whether that was from his effort or Den's, he wasn't sure. Tessa swatted her father's arm.
"Daddy, let him be."
Den's seriousness gave way to a sudden smile that was almost shocking. He laughed and released Sebastian's hand, clapping him on the back.
"It's a father's prerogative to put a little healthy fear into his daughter's suitors."
Sebastian laughed, some of it from the rush of nerves that had just beset him.
"Indeed, and well done."
He tucked his hand behind his back and flexed it a few times to get the feeling back. Magna shook her head as her husband held her chair for her.
"Den, don't scare the lad off before we get to know him."
"I promise I'm not that easily scared, Mrs. Blythe."
Sebastian helped Tessa into her seat, then took the chair next to hers, which thankfully put him between Tessa and her mother.
"Please call me Magna."
"Yes, of course."
Nerves were getting the better of him. He nodded and felt Tessa's hand on his leg. She squeezed as if reassuring him. Then her touch was gone. The restaurant was surprisingly quiet. He glanced around, wondering where the rest of the patrons were. Magda leaned in.
"I promise this is a great place to eat. Tessa's father and I just thought it would be more conducive to getting to know each other if we had the place to ourselves."
Sebastian raised his brows.
"Then you arranged this?"
She nodded.
"We booked the entire place for the evening."
"Very thoughtful of you."
Especially since this was most likely going to be a conversation best had in private. A server came and handed them menus, then took their drink orders.
Sebastian chose whiskey. There was no reason to deviate from his usual. Tessa's parents couldn't expect him not to drink in a situation like this. Her father asked for beer, and both women ordered wine. Sebastian glanced at the menu and immediately decided upon steak frites. He laid the menu down across his plate. Den had done the same thing and was now staring at Sebastian.
Tessa says you're a vampire.
It wasn't a question, but it felt like something Sebastian should respond to. Yes, I am.
Are you well off?
Daddy,
Tessa protested. Den looked at her.
Gunther's got an office in French Lick and is about to open another in Evansville.
It's all right, Tessa. Sebastian smiled at her father. I don't know what you consider well off, but I can promise you that no one I care for lacks for anything. Den's brows lifted slightly. Tessa set her menu aside.
Dad, I'm doing very well for myself, you know. My new job pays me a generous salary.
I understand that, Tessa.
Den looked at Sebastian again.
But I also want to know that any man interested in you can provide for you.
Sebastian softly cleared his throat.
I own 1/4 of the town of Nocturne Falls. Besides my home there, I own properties in London and the British Virgin Islands. I assure you I am capable of...
Where in the British Virgin Islands?
Den asked. Sebastian frowned. This was information he hadn't been prepared to share.
Ginger Island.
Den made a face.
We travel a lot, son. We were in Tortola 6 months ago. Pretty sure Ginger Island is privately owned.
It is, Sebastian answered.
By me. Den's brows made considerably more progress upward this time.
You own the whole thing?
I do.
And he'd been planning on surprising Tessa with a trip there for a honeymoon, whenever that happened.
Tessa nudged Sebastian's leg with her knee.
You own a whole island?
He shrugged. It seemed the safest way to vacation. She squinted at him.
When have you ever been on vacation?
It was a valid question. He smiled and reached over to take her hand.
Well, now that I have you in my life.
Magna put her menu down as well.
You sound as though you've done very well for yourself, Sebastian.
He turned to answer her.
Thank you, I have. I handle the finances for both Nocturne Falls and my family. My investments aren't always the most glamorous, but they have paid off nicely. And like most of my kind, we tend to go for the long game, as opposed to quick, riskier strikes.
The server returned with their drinks, and they all ordered their entrees. Sebastian took some satisfaction in hearing Den ask for steak frites, too. When the server left, Den returned his attention to Sebastian.
What are your intentions for my daughter?
At last, the question Sebastian had been anticipating. He smiled broadly and glanced at Tessa, thinking about how much he loved her.
I intend to marry her and spend the rest of my eternity making her happy.
Then he looked at Den and Magna.
But I hope to do so with your blessing.
Den grunted.
I'd always hoped Tessa and Jenna would marry berserkers.
Tessa held her hand up.
I'm already wearing the engagement ring he gave me.
Magna frowned.
Tessa, you told me on the phone you weren't engaged to anyone.
I wasn't then. I am now.
Den shook his head.
That ring means nothing. The blessing has been given to Gunther. He's already completed the challenges.
Tessa's hand curled into a fist.
But I don't love him. I love Sebastian.
Den's gaze narrowed.
Then there is only one course of action that can be taken.
No, Daddy, Tessa said. He's not a berserker. He doesn't know our traditions. You can't expect...
I can, Den said. And I do.
He sat back in his chair.
If you want to marry my daughter, you must pass the same tests any berserker would, just as Gunther has already done. You must prove yourself worthy of Tessa's hand. Then, and only then, will her mother and I decide which union to bless. Otherwise, Tessa must marry the man she's been promised to, Gunther Henriksen.
Beside Sebastian, Tessa stiffened. But he wasn't about to be daunted by anything. He was as strong and able as any other supernatural. Maybe more so, given his age as a vampire.
If that's what it takes, I'll do it. What are these tests?
Den smiled for the first time that evening. It was a dreadful thing.
The 7 feats of strength.
Chapter 3. Tessa sucked in a breath at her father's words.
No, not the 7 feats of strength. Mom, tell him no.
This was exactly what she'd been worried about. Magna shrugged. It is our tradition. Tessa glared at her. But he's not one of us.
All the more reason he should be required to do them, her father muttered.
Sebastian looked rather calm, but then he didn't know what he was up against.
I'm sure it won't be a problem.
Tessa faced him. You don't have a clue. Anger and worry and a cold, sick feeling filled Tessa's belly. She couldn't let this happen. She tossed her napkin on her plate and stood up.
I will not allow this. It's insane.
Sebastian captured her hand in his.
My darling, I would walk through fire for you.
Ha! That would be easy compared to the 7 feats.
She shook her head at her parents. You can't be serious with this. Den frowned.
It's our tradition. If the man who marries you can't understand that, then perhaps he isn't the right man for you. And after all, Gunther completed them.
Magna made a face, and a sudden realization struck Tessa. She planted her hands on the table and leaned in.
Gunther did all 7 of them?
Magna looked at Den. You can't expect him to do more than Gunther did. Den sighed.
Gunther did 3, but they were 3 of the most difficult.
Tessa straightened and put her hands on her hips.
So, Gunther assumed, correctly I might add, that because of my past, there was no need to put out the standard effort, that Tessa Blythe ought to be happy that a berserker such as he is cared enough to complete even 3 of the feats.
Now, Tessa, Magna started.
No, I see exactly what happened. I'm damaged goods, and you 2 were probably falling all over yourselves to welcome him into the family, weren't you?
Den grunted.
Can you blame us for being happy that a good man showed interest in you? And regardless of what you think, the bar has been set. Sebastian either completes the challenges or no blessing will be given.
Sebastian held a hand up.
I absolutely understand and respect tradition. I am happy to comply with whatever you'd have me do to win your approval of our union.
Tessa put her hands on the back of her chair and leaned in.
But I'm not. The 7 feats are designed for berserkers, not vampires. Even if he does 3, it's still unfair.
Magna sighed. Then how about a compromise?
No,
Den said.
He should do all 7 because he's not a berserker. He has more to prove.
What kind of compromise? Tessa asked her mother. 6 feats, Magna offered.
Tessa crossed her arms. No feats. Just dinner and we move on because I love Sebastian and he's my choice.
Now see here, daughter,
Den started.
It's my father's right to be sure the man desiring your hand is worthy of you.
He is. You can take my word on that.
But Tessa knew she was going to have to give a little. She held up her pointer finger.
1 feat.
Den let a moment go by.
You don't think he can pass these tests, do you?
That was a hard question to answer. If she said no, she was admitting Sebastian wasn't as capable as a berserker. If she said yes, there was no reason for her to argue the contest.
Of course he can. But why put him through it? Our culture isn't his. He shouldn't be required to go through such hardship because of me or Gunther's half-hearted attempt.
Tessa, Sebastian started. It's okay. I am willing.
She glanced at him and saw the resoluteness in his eyes. He was determined to do this. She looked at her father and saw the same expression. They were cut from the same stubborn cloth, these 2.
1 feat.
5,
her father responded.
3,
her mother looked at Den.
The same as Gunther, and that's it.
Fine, Den grunted.
Magna turned to Tessa and Sebastian. Are we agreed?
Agreed.
Sebastian patted Tessa's chair.
Come on, love, it will be okay.
She took her seat reluctantly, and mostly because the server had just come through the kitchen doors carrying a tray with their dinners on it. She put her napkin on her lap and sat quietly while the server placed their food in front of them. Her sole with lemon butter sauce looked delicious, but her appetite had waned as she thought about what lay ahead for the man she loved. She picked up her fork.
How will these three feats be chosen?
I'll choose them.
Her father stuffed a healthy bite of steak into his mouth.
Den,
Magna said.
That's not exactly sporting. Or fair, Tessa added. You didn't choose Gunther's.
Her father looked at her mother.
You have a different idea?
Magda nodded, finishing a bite of her beef burgundy before answering.
It should be random. Put them all on slips of paper and let Sebastian choose them from a hat.
Tessa relaxed a little. That was a better idea, although it would leave all of the most difficult feats in play.
I'm okay with that, as long as the Drecky run is removed.
Sebastian turned to her.
What's the Drecky run?
Den stabbed a pile of French fries with his fork.
You have 24 hours to produce a dragon scale.
Sebastian nodded thoughtfully.
Leave that one in.
Tessa's mouth fell open.
Are you crazy?
He leaned over to whisper in her ear.
2 words. Ivan Tsvetkov. We're leaving them all in.
Den hoisted his fry-laden fork.
But I have to say, I like that you don't cringe from the heavy lifting, Sebastian. You accomplish these feats, and I'll give serious consideration to allowing you to marry my daughter.
Tessa frowned at her father. He accomplishes them, and it's a done deal. No consideration necessary. That is the point, after all.
His lips pressed together in a hard line.
But there is still the matter of Gunther.
Yes, Daddy, and you'll deal with that. Tell him whatever you want, but make sure he understands you spoke too soon in giving him your blessing.
Den's mouth bent downward.
You drive a hard bargain, Tessa.
She smiled.
I am your daughter.
I want you to know I understand, Den,
Sebastian said.
You want the best for Tessa. So do I.
Den lifted his glass.
The best of luck to you, then.
Sebastian raised his whiskey.
I won't need luck, but thank you all the same.
Den drank, then set his glass aside.
We'll start tonight, then, after dinner. If you're ready, vampire.
I am, Sebastian nodded. The sooner Tessa and I can be wed, the better.
Magna narrowed her eyes at him.
I would like to attend my daughter's wedding, whoever the groom might be. It'll be Sebastian.
Tessa smiled, thinking back to when she'd been shopping for a wedding dress for their fake wedding, and wondering if the day would come that she'd ever need one for real.
And don't worry about attending. Our ceremony will be small, but our families will be there.
Sebastian snorted.
That's for sure. My grandmother would have my head if I got married and she wasn't present.
Tessa laughed. Maybe both our heads.
Den made a face.
Your grandmother is that fierce?
Tessa put her hand on Sebastian's arm and shook her head.
You have no idea. Eleonora Ellingham could be an honorary Valkyrie.
The thought gave Tessa hope. Sebastian was from brave, tenacious stock. He wasn't about to back down or give up. And 3 feats instead of 7 put the odds squarely in his favor. Maybe she'd been worried about nothing. Then again, she had no idea what feats he would pull.
Sebastian and Tessa sat in the living room of Den and Magna's suite. It was a beautiful room, but the thing that held Sebastian's interest was the ceramic bowl on the coffee table between them, and the 7 slips of paper that filled it. They'd had dinner, dessert, and coffee. There was nothing left to postpone the inevitable. Sebastian addressed Den.
Is there any ceremony to this, or should I just choose one?
The man shrugged.
Since you'd normally be tackling them all, no. Go ahead and choose.
Sebastian reached for the bowl, but Tessa's hand on his arm stopped him.
Her eyes were filled with concern.
"It's going to be all right," he said softly.
She managed a weak smile, then nodded and took her hand back. "I know." But the words lacked confidence. Sebastian dropped his hand, realizing that there was one question he'd yet to ask.
"I think I know the answer to this already, but if I fail one of these tasks, what happens?"
Den shifted on the silk-upholstered sofa. It looked like dollhouse furniture in comparison to his bulk.
"Then Tessa will marry Gunther."
A chill swept Sebastian.
"You can't be serious. You would expect her to marry a man she's never met and doesn't love?"
Magna nodded. "It's always been our way. If a berserker is willing to sacrifice for a woman, he is rewarded with her hand in marriage."
"She has no choice in the matter." Sebastian shook his head. "That's barbaric."
"There is some recourse," Tessa said. "I can challenge him to a fight, and if I win, I'm no longer obligated to marry him." Her next breath came out in a ragged sigh. "But you know how I feel about fighting."
Sebastian nodded. "I do." "Den, Magna, you must see that I love your daughter. Do you really mean to keep us apart for such outdated reasons?"
"Outdated?" Den snarled. "These feats have been accomplished by every berserker who ever married a Valkyrie. I completed all 7 before Magna's parents blessed our union. They aren't outdated. They're tradition."
Sebastian knew he'd riled the man, but it couldn't be helped.
"I understand that. But for us to be pulled apart because of something so arbitrary..."
He tried to quell the anger building in his gut.
"You're saying that our happiness, our lives, rest in that bowl. And you believe that's reasonable? That tradition trumps love?"
Den took a breath.
"I believe it's how we've always done things."
"And if I fail, and Tessa and I marry anyway, without your blessing, what happens?"
Magna paled and lifted her chin slightly. "Then Tessa will never be considered Valkyrie again. She will be shunned. Not even her sister will be allowed to acknowledge her as family." Sebastian glanced at his beloved. There was a time she might have been at peace with no longer being considered Valkyrie, but she had proudly reclaimed her heritage, and she would never be at peace with losing her family. Nor did he want to be the one who caused that kind of punishment.
"You could choose not to shun her, and no one can take being Valkyrie away from her any more than the sun can be commanded not to rise."
Tessa swallowed. "They will strip my sword from me."
"What?"
Sebastian frowned.
"I thought it was part of you."
"It is. But they will make it not part of me." Tessa looked slightly sick.
Magna nodded.
"It's a very unpleasant business."
"Damn it. There's more at stake than any of you let on."
Sebastian had one choice. He could not fail. He stuck his hand in the bowl and yanked out a strip of paper.
"Here, let's get this bloody thing underway and behind us."
Den took the folded paper and opened it.
"The test of Morhildr."
He looked at Magna. She nodded in response. Sebastian raised his eyebrows.
"Would either of you care to explain?"
Tessa lifted her head and tried to smile. "You must prove your skill in battle. It's a sword fight, essentially."
Sebastian nodded. He could fence. Hell, he'd taught fencing at Harmswood Academy, the school in Nocturne Falls for supernatural children. This wasn't going to be too difficult.
"And who is my opponent?"
Tessa looked at her father. He might be big, but Sebastian had technique on his side. This wasn't going to be easy, but...
"You will fight Magna,"
Den announced.
"The Morhildr means mother battle. You must best a Valkyrie to prove you are worthy of one."
"I'm not going to raise a weapon against a woman," Sebastian said.
Den snorted.
"Then you concede? I had not expected you to give up so easily. But if that's your decision..."
"You're serious?"
Sebastian turned to Tessa.
"Do you expect me to fight your mother?"
She shrugged limply. "It's our way."
"But it is not mine. There is no honor in such a thing."
"There is to us," Magna countered. She leaned forward. I understand the culture you come from frowns on such a thing, vampire, but that culture also thinks women are weaker creatures. We are not. Valkyries and berserkers grow up battling each other as equals in the sparring circle. We fight and serve side by side. This is our way. So you will fight me, or you will concede. The choice is yours.
You're telling me Gunther fought you?
Not me, no. He fought a proxy. Magna sat back. My sister, actually.
Sebastian stared at them.
Judged the determination and sincerity in Magna's eyes, and the look of despair in Tessa's. He'd started this ball rolling. There was nothing else to do but see it to the finish line. He took a moment to fix his resolve in place.
Where will this battle take place?
Chapter 4.
Tessa stood at the edge of the hotel's ballroom, watching her mother and the love of her life square off in the center. It wasn't surprising that her parents had had the forethought to reserve this space. After all, they'd known what was coming. Tessa wished she had. Seeing Sebastian so at war with this process was understandable. As her mother had pointed out, this wasn't his culture. He was handling it remarkably well. But then she'd expected nothing less from him. He was her hero and her champion. And, she hoped very soon, her husband. That thought lightened her spirits.
Den lifted his hand.
First one to admit defeat loses. All you must do, vampire, is not be that person.
Sebastian's expression was dour.
He raised his borrowed sword, provided by her parents, and tucked his free hand behind his back.
Understood.
He bowed to Magna, his grim air unchanging.
She bowed as well and smiled, then straightened and reached back to unsheathe her own weapon. As with all Valkyries and Berserkers, her sword was part of her, almost like a magical tattoo that came to life as needed. She brandished the weapon while she spoke to Sebastian.
Don't look so serious, vampire. This isn't to the death, just to defeat.
Noted. He adjusted his stance, then shot a quick glance at Tessa.
She smiled back, with what she hoped was reassurance.
Love you, she mouthed.
A faint light shone in his eyes, and the tiniest hint of a smile played on his face.
He gave her a quick nod, then settled into position. Den dropped his hand.
Fight!
In true Valkyrie fashion, Magna charged with a roar and a flash of metal. Sebastian's training served him well. He spun away, avoiding her blade as it sliced toward him and sang out with a hiss of air. Magna turned and lunged at him again. He blocked the attack, and the clang of the strike echoed off the walls. The back and forth continued, and they worked their way from one end of the room to the other. Tessa and her father followed. Tessa's hands were clenched at her sides, and her heart pounded in her chest. Wanting Sebastian to win felt like a betrayal of her mother, but wanting her mother to win felt equally as disloyal to the man she planned to spend the rest of her life with. She'd never felt so torn. Her scorn of these traditions grew with each passing moment, and she vowed that no child of hers would ever be put through the same thing. Magna fainted, but Sebastian read it and took the opening. Magna lifted her sword to block, but came up a split second too late. Sebastian's blade sliced across her arm, leaving a red scratch on her skin.
First blood to the vampire, Den called out.
Sebastian dropped his hands to his sides. The point of his weapon trailed on the ground. He shook his head, repugnance in his eyes.
I cannot do this. It goes against everything bred in me to raise a hand against a woman.
Magna's eyes sparkled. Then you're going to lose. She charged him. He brought his sword back up, but not before she'd caught the fabric of his shirt and torn it open. There was no blood, but Tessa sucked in a breath anyway. She couldn't take much more of this. Freya forgive her. Sebastian, just finish it. Now! As if spurred by her words, he drove forward with the speed and agility of his kind. His sword whirled around, giving off a flash of light. A soft, slithering sound followed as Magna's weapon flew out of her hand and clattered to the floor. Magna stepped back, her hands empty and her eyes rounded in surprise.
I don't know how you did that.
A century of fencing. Sebastian kept the point of his sword aimed at her. Do you concede? She nodded slowly and smiled. I do. Beside Tessa, her father grunted.
The vampire has successfully completed the first challenge.
Sebastian's shoulders dropped as he tossed his weapon to the ground. He shoved back the lock of hair that had fallen onto his forehead. Tessa ran to him. You did it! He caught her in his arms and held her close.
So I did.
Still wrapped in his embrace, Tessa looked over at her mother. Are you badly hurt? Magna shook her head. I'm a Valkyrie. It takes more than a scratch to wound me. She smiled and patted Sebastian on the shoulder. Well done, vampire. Let's see if you do as well on your next task. Sebastian released Tessa.
Now?
Den barked out a laugh as he joined them.
Too tired to continue? No.
Sebastian lowered his head. I'm ready to return to your room and that damned bowl immediately. Which they did. And the moment they were through the door to her parents' suite, Sebastian headed straight for the coffee table. He wasted no time digging into the bowl. He took out a second slip of paper and handed it to Magna. She held it, but didn't open it. You're impatient. Sebastian slipped his arm around Tessa's waist. I see no point in prolonging this. Tessa leaned into him. He practically vibrated with tension and anticipation. Sebastian's right, Mom. We just want to get through this and move on with our lives. With your blessing, of course.
Of course. Magna opened the paper.
You have chosen the hour. She folded the paper and set it next to the bowl, then checked her watch. You have until sunset tomorrow to bring us the most precious thing you can think of. But whatever you return with, we must also agree to its worth.
Sebastian looked perplexed. Precious in what way? You said worth, so monetary?
Magna crossed her arms and shook her head. There is no discussion.
Den went over and opened the suite's door. We'll see you at sunset.
Tessa hung back. But Dad, can't you give him some kind of clue? Her father's gaze darkened.
Gunther didn't need clues.
She sighed. I hate all of this. Gunther included. Why on earth had he thought she'd make a good wife? Why couldn't he have found a nice girl in Frenchlick? Sebastian took her hand.
It's all right. The answer is obvious.
Tessa tried to pull him toward the door. Sebastian, this isn't something you can do on impulse. You won't get another chance. Your first answer has to be the right one.
Her father glared at him. She's right, vampire. You ought to take the time to think this through. Or do your people have a hard time with rational thought?
I know the answer, Sebastian repeated. Let him speak, Magna said. Den gave Sebastian a look of disapproval, as if he thought the same thing Tessa did, that Sebastian was being impetuous. But that wasn't Sebastian's way at all. Tessa bit her lip and prayed to Freya that her vampire truly did know the answer. He walked up to her mother and stood proudly, putting his arm around Tessa.
The most precious thing I know is your daughter. She is worth more than everything I own twice over. I would give my own life for her. She is a rare gem and absolutely priceless, and I dare you to disagree with me.
A slow smile spread across Magna's face. In the interest of fairness, I would have to add that I feel the same about my other daughter as well. So, no, vampire, I will not disagree with you. You have passed the second feat. And in far less time than Gunther did, I might add.
Thank you. Sebastian wanted to slump with the sudden relief he felt, but he stayed steadfastly upright. And perhaps I realized the answer so quickly because my love for Tessa is real.
Magna nodded. Perhaps. He leaned in and kissed Tessa, who had tears shining in her eyes. She blinked them back. You really feel that way about me?
I do.
She snuggled against him. You're amazing. He smiled.
Magna did too,
and it seemed to Sebastian that the woman was suddenly on his side. She took a step toward the coffee table. "I'll get the bowl." No. There was no way he couldn't win the next feat, not with Tessa at his side. But that was not going to happen tonight. "We'll be back at sunset tomorrow, as allowed in the last task. Tessa and I need some time to ourselves." Magna looked surprised. "You're sure?" "Yes," Tessa answered. "You can try to tear us apart again tomorrow." She took Sebastian's hand. "The rest of this day is ours." Den started to say something, but Magna silenced him with a raised hand. "That's fine with me." Den grunted. Magna turned to look at him. "Leave them be." He gave a short nod, then narrowed his eyes at Sebastian.
"Leaving town isn't going to end this test. A Valkyrie can be called back by other means."
Sebastian frowned at the man.
"Have I given you any indication that I'm the kind of man who runs from tough situations?"
"No,"
Den grudgingly answered.
"We'll be back at sunset. I'm a man of my word, and I would not do anything to cause Tessa problems."
Magna patted Tessa on the arm.
"We'll see you then."
Sebastian was pleased that at least one of Tessa's parents was being reasonable.
"Very good."
Magna escorted them to the door, then shut it after them, leaving Tessa and Sebastian blissfully alone in the hall. They walked in silence to the elevator. She turned to him as he pressed the call button.
"What do you want to do?"
"I don't know, honestly. But faced with the possibility of what this next challenge might bring, all that really appeals is time alone with you. I'd be happy just to return to our suite and spend these next few hours with you in my arms."
"I'd be happy with that, too."
He leaned in and kissed her forehead.
"Before you know it, all of this will be behind us, and we'll be on our way home, able to marry whenever we want, able to spend days on end however we please."
"You seem very confident."
"I am, because I have you by my side."
He took her hand again and tugged her closer. She smiled and leaned against him as the lift doors opened.
"You make me deliriously happy, Sebastian Ellingham."
"Then you're okay with my plan of returning to the suite?"
"Absolutely. There are some other activities I'd like to add to our agenda, though."
They stepped onto the lift as he squinted at her words. He was open for a little sightseeing, he supposed. It was her first time here in Paris, after all. He couldn't blame her for wanting to explore a bit.
"I imagine you want to see the Louvre."
She laughed. "None of the activities I have in mind involves us leaving the room. Maybe not even the bed."
"Oh. Oh."
The realization of what she meant hit him with a wave of desire that overrode his usual interest in decorum. The elevator doors slid shut.
"You are my everything, Tessa Blythe."
He pulled her into his arms and kissed her soundly, tasting the beautiful creature before him as if for the first time. His glorious Valkyrie, his bona fide fiancée. She clung to him, digging her fingers into his shoulders as if she was trying to hang on to him forever. Heat spun through him, charging every inch of his body with the anticipation of what was to come. If these next few hours were the last he might have with her, he was going to make them count. The lift dinged, and a few moments later, a very loud clearing of a throat interrupted them.
They broke apart to find a fez-capped bellman staring them down from the other side of the open doors, his mouth bunched into a rather judgmental pout.
"Pardon,"
Sebastian said as he held the doors back for Tessa.
"Huh."
The bellman lifted his chin slightly, as if to say it would take more than a pardon to erase what he'd seen. Tessa snickered, grabbed Sebastian's hand, and pulled him along with her. They laughed all the way through the lobby and onto the street.
"You're wicked!"
He arched his brows.
"Yes, I am. And you're just about to find out how very good at being bad I can be."
Chapter 5. After the hours of languid passion spent in Sebastian's arms,
Tessa couldn't bear to think what might happen to them next. But here they were, headed toward her parents' suite once again. And once again, Sebastian was about to face a trial on her behalf. Nerves tripped through her.
I'm so sorry you have to go through this.
Don't be. I understand tradition, and I'm happy to prove myself to your parents, since that's what they need. Having their blessing will make our lives much easier, especially if or when we have children.
She gave him a quick smile she didn't quite feel. That's very true. But I feel like you've had relatively easy tasks so far. I know there are much harder ones in the mix, and that makes me worry what the final one might be.
He shrugged as they stopped in front of the suite door. It's all luck of the draw, right? And to be honest, I wouldn't say facing down your mother in a sword fight was exactly a stroll in the park.
No, I suppose not. But these tests were meant for berserkers, not vampires. I worry that you'll come up against one you can't manage.
Each test has been more about who I am as a man. As long as I remember that, I'll be fine. Berserker or not, it doesn't matter.
She sighed. He caught her hand in his and brought it to his lips to kiss her knuckles.
I know you're worried about me, but it's going to be fine, my love. You'll see.
He smiled.
And if Gunther can do it, so can I.
She gave him a little half-grin.
Good point.
He gestured toward the door.
Ready?
If you are.
She sighed, grin gone. He knocked, his smile still firmly in place. How he could be so cavalier about this, she had no idea. Her stomach was in knots, and she felt on the verge of vomiting, or whipping out her sword and hacking something to pieces, which was pretty uncharacteristic for her. What she needed was a good book and a hot bath.
Or Sebastian and a hot bath.
Or just Sebastian. That would work too. She laughed softly as her father opened the door.
What's so funny, Tessa?
Oh, nothing, Dad. So, we're here.
I can see that. Come in.
They followed him to the living room. Magna sat by the coffee table, a glass of wine in her hand. She set it aside and stood.
Hello, Tessa. Sebastian.
Magna? Sebastian nodded. I trust your day was as pleasantly spent as ours.
Magna glanced at Tessa. Judging by the glow emanating off my daughter, I'd guess not, but it was still lovely.
Tessa's eyes rounded. Mom?
Sebastian chuckled.
Well then.
Den made a noise that sounded very much like the one the bellman had made. He shot a perturbed look at them both.
Let's get on with it, shall we?
Of course.
Sebastian bent toward the bowl. Magna stood.
We took the liberty of adjusting the remaining feats so that they would be more vampire-friendly. We also took into consideration that we're in Paris, and quite a ways from our Scandinavian homelands where many of these feats were meant to be performed.
Sebastian straightened.
I appreciate your efforts, but I was content to finish with whatever remained. I hope I didn't give you any indication to the contrary.
Den crossed his arms.
It's the parents' right to decide the feats. Minor deviations and adjustments are allowed.
Sebastian nodded.
Of course.
A prickle of alarm stabbed Tessa's belly.
Dad, you didn't make any of them harder, did you?
Den stared at Sebastian.
I did what I did to prove the mettle of this vampire who thinks he's the right man for my daughter.
Dad!
Tessa stuck her hands on her hips.
If you've set Sebastian up for failure...
It's all right, love, Sebastian said. Whatever proof your father needs, I'm about to give him.
Sebastian stuck his hand into the bowl and came back with the final slip of paper. He handed it to Magna. She opened it and took a breath.
Ilmir's chase.
She glanced at Den, then handed him the slip of paper. He tossed it onto the table. Sebastian stiffened.
Am I to guess this one, or will it be explained?
Ilmir is the goddess of flowers and dreams, Tessa said.
But I don't know what this challenge is. She glared at her father.
What is it?
Den shrugged.
It's simple. The Père Lachaise Cemetery, here in Paris, houses the Valachi Mausoleum. That crypt is said to be the final resting place of Vlad Dracul, the father of Dracula himself. Whether or not that's true, I don't know, or care. All that matters is that you bring us the enchanted black rose that blooms within its walls without using any magic of your own to do so, and you have until the next sunset to do so.
Sebastian's gaze tapered down. That's all you want? An enchanted rose? Is there some catch? Is it poisonous? Is it just an illusion, impossible to grasp?
Den smiled. Tessa knew that look. It meant her father thought he'd done something clever.
Den shook his head. It's a real flower, but it only blooms because of the magic in that crypt. And sunlight. Did I mention that? Sunlight is the only thing that keeps it alive. In fact, when the sun sets, the rose dies. Bring us a dead rose, and you've failed.
The parameters of the task before Sebastian suddenly became clear. Sunlight keeps it alive, which is how I'm supposed to bring it to you. But I'm not allowed to use magic to do so.
Correct.
Den responded. Anger iced Sebastian's spine, but he kept himself in check.
I am a vampire. I am a creature of magic. How is that supposed to work, then?
Den's gaze was steady and direct. We are all supernaturals. I'm not talking about the magic inherent within us. I'm talking about the magic that allows you to walk in daylight, vampire. Or did you think we didn't know about that?
I've done nothing to keep that a secret.
Sebastian felt Tessa slip her hand into his. And there's nothing wrong with using magic to walk in daylight.
Not saying there is.
Den shrugged.
In the Berserker trial that mirrors this one, the use of a sword is forbidden. And if you don't like it, you can always quit. He leaned in. And leave my daughter to marry the man who's already accomplished these tasks.
Sebastian narrowed his eyes at the man.
The magic that allows me to daywalk is a closely guarded family secret. I'm not about to reveal it to you.
I'm not asking you to. A berserker cannot be separated from his sword either, not in any way that would allow him to leave it behind.
Then how will you know whether or not I've used it?
A calculated look came into Den's eyes.
Because your honor is at stake, among other things.
Tessa let go of Sebastian's hand to stab a finger at her father.
You did this on purpose. Came up with an impossible challenge just to get rid of Sebastian and force me to marry Gunther.
The hard light in Den's eyes softened.
I didn't. I swear it.
Really?
Tessa grabbed the bowl holding the slips of paper.
So if I were to open the rest of these, I wouldn't find more impossible tests?
Tessa, the challenges your father and I created are no different than the ones any berserker would have to face,
Magna said.
Or in Gunther's case, did face.
Let's just be clear about this. If Sebastian attempts this, he could die, and probably will. But if he doesn't attempt this task, that means he fails, and I have to marry Gunther. So I might as well be dead. Or Sebastian could just quit and save his life. But that doesn't end with us being together either. No matter what the decision is, we're torn apart.
Fury snapped in Tessa's gaze.
But so long as you two get what you want.
That's not what we want, Tessa. Magna sighed. But promises have been made, and Sebastian did choose to undergo this trial.
He chose? Not hardly. It was thrust upon him since Gunther had already completed it.
Den's lip curled.
If you hadn't kept this relationship from us, we might have prevented that. But you did, and we acted without that knowledge to guide us.
Tessa held her hands up. I never thought I would once again wish not to have been born Valkyrie, but today I do.
She turned into Sebastian's arms, pressing herself against him.
I'm so sorry. I've done this to us, to you.
He stroked her hair and kissed her head.
It's going to be all right. We'll figure something out.
She lifted her head.
What?
I don't know, but we will.
He held on to her, but shifted his attention to her parents.
I understand the parameters of the challenge. I will do my best to secure the rose, or die trying.
Den shook his head. Are all vampires so dramatic?
Sebastian narrowed his gaze. Life without Tessa as my wife wouldn't be worth living. If you find that truth to be dramatic, then perhaps we share a different definition of love.
Den's mouth opened, but he said nothing, as Sebastian took Tessa's hand and led her out. She clung to him all the way back to their hotel, silent except for a few angry noises and muted sobs. He got her into their suite, made her a cup of hot tea, and sat down beside her on the sofa. He put the tea on the coffee table in front of her.
Drink that, you'll feel better.
She glanced at the tea, then him. I love you, but tea isn't going to fix this. Unless you make a vat of it and pour it over my parents, that might make me feel better.
He sighed. I know you're angry at them, but...
They've put us in a corner!
She twisted toward him. Our options are you dead, or you alive and me married to another man. I don't want either one of those.
He put his hand on her leg. Neither do I. But I think we can come up with a solution.
How? How on earth are you going to stroll into that cemetery with the sun shining overhead and come out alive without the use of your amulet?
He sat back. I haven't figured that out yet.
She put her head in her hands. Oh, Sebastian, what are we going to do?
Run away together?
She peeked at him through her fingers. As tempting as that sounds, you know the powers that be would consider that grounds for taking my sword away from me. Which means they will hunt me until they find me. I don't want us to spend the rest of our very long lives running from them.
I refuse to put you in a situation where the result is the removal of your sword. Not after what you told me. No, we have to find a solution that gives us all peace.
He tipped his head back to stare at the ceiling and tried to think through every possible scenario. The cemetery wouldn't offer enough shade for him to make his way to the crypt and back. An overcast day might help him escape with minor burns, but they'd had nothing but wretchedly clear skies since they'd been here. Trying to shade himself with an umbrella was just foolish. Tessa gasped suddenly. He picked his head up to look at her.
What is it, darling?
Her eyes were bright. What if we worked together?
In what way?
I'll get the bloom and bring it to you, then you deliver it to my parents. That's not you using magic, it's just you delegating. In fact, we'll do it together, but you'll just be the one to give it to them. And you can safely accompany me, since you'll never have to remove your amulet, right?
He thought it might be cheating, and that such a workaround had a very high risk of coming back to bite them. But he also couldn't imagine not taking any chance available to keep his beloved Tessa safe and at his side.
It would allow me to say honestly that I did not use my magic to retrieve the rose. My honor would remain intact, though perhaps only technically.
So what do you think, then?
If it came to it, he would take full responsibility for the deception.
Honor be damned. He smiled at her. I think we have a cemetery to visit.
Chapter 6
Joy was not an emotion Tessa had ever equated with the dead, but that was all she felt as she and Sebastian walked among the monuments and crypts of the Père Lachaise Cemetery. It was lovely in a peculiar, gothic way, even more so because they were alone. This early in the morning, the cemetery wasn't open yet. They'd jumped the wall just before sunrise, and at this hour, the quiet was disturbed only by the rustling of leaves that hadn't yet fallen and the gravel crunching underfoot, since they'd veered off the main cobblestone paths. She hooked her arm through Sebastian's.
It's kind of beautiful here.
He nodded. It is. Somber, but beautiful. And very much a place of love.
She glanced at him.
How do you mean?
Look at the monuments people have erected in memory of their loved ones, so that they won't be forgotten. It's staggering how much care and thought went into some of them.
His fingers trailed over the bronze door of one crypt, its surface embossed with an almost life-size guardian angel, keeping watch over the family interred within. She smiled. That's such a nice way to look at all this. Although I have to say, I think Paris is making you more romantic than usual. He gave her a sly look. Are you saying I'm not normally romantic? You are, but there's something about this city that really brings out the vampire in you. I mean that as a compliment.
Then I'll take it that way.
He shrugged.
We could come back here for our honeymoon if you like.
She laughed softly. No, I think I've had all the Paris I can handle for a while. It's a beautiful city, but that private island you were talking about to my father sounds like a dream come true. She squeezed his arm with hers, happy to touch him, happy that he would be hers forever in a very short while. Just you and me and paradise. His smile was tight but understanding.
That's exactly right. Absolute bliss.
Hang on. She stopped them in front of one of the small green and white lane markers and checked the map on her phone. The crypt should be just up ahead. She tucked her phone away, and they walked on until she spotted it. Here we are. He went up and tried the door. It swung open without a sound. He glanced back at her.
I guess this is a popular spot.
Must be. She joined him, and they went inside. It was cool and a little damp and smelled musty, but not overpoweringly so. Shelves on both sides held caskets, easily visible because the mausoleum had a glass and iron roof that let light in. Particularly a center shaft that highlighted a tall but compact rosebush climbing an obelisk-shaped trellis set into a large square urn of dirt in the middle of the space. Black roses, tinged with red edges, bloomed all over the plant. She hugged her arms around herself. Roses in October? It's possible, but not indoors like this, I wouldn't think. And I've never seen roses with that color. That much is definitely magic.
I'd say so, too.
You think Dracula's father is really buried here?
Could be. Someone with magic is, judging by those blooms.
He looked at her.
You ready to do this?
She nodded. Once they cut the flower, they had to go straight back to her parents' hotel to ensure they made it while the bloom still thrived. She pulled a half-full water bottle and scissors from her tote bag. She snipped the nearest bloom with as much stem as she could manage, then opened the bottle and stuck the rose in. There, if that doesn't keep it alive, I don't know what else to do.
And you're sure you'll be able to keep it upright in your bag?
I'll hold it while it's in there if I have to. She settled the bottle into her tote and put her hand on it for safekeeping. All right, let's go deliver this to my parents and get on with our lives. Sebastian took possession of the rose in the elevator. He held on to it as he knocked on the door of Den and Magna's suite, all the while hoping he hadn't missed anything. No fine print that would undo his and Tessa's finagling to make this happen. Den opened the door. His gaze went to the flower, and his brows shot up.
You did it.
Did you expect me not to?
Den didn't answer except to say,
Come in.
Sebastian let Tessa go ahead of him, then followed. Magna came out from the bedroom. Back so soon?
I am eager to be done, Sebastian said. He lifted the rose. For you.
She took it, but her eyes slanted at Den. Have you inspected this?
He waved a hand.
It's the real thing.
Sebastian grabbed Tessa's hand and squeezed, unable to contain his happiness.
So that's it, then. I've passed, and Tessa and I are free to marry.
Den pointed to the sofa.
Have a seat, both of you.
He walked past them and took the chair opposite the coffee table. Magna deposited the rose into a glass of water, carried it over to the table, then sat next to her husband in the other chair. Sebastian and Tessa did as asked, staying close to each other. He met her father's gaze.
Do you want to discuss wedding plans? Because it's a little early for that yet. I'm sure Tessa will...
Did you use your magic, vampire?
Sebastian had been ready for this.
No. Den frowned.
Then how did you get that rose? How did you survive the sun?
A little sigh slipped from Tessa's lips. I got the rose. You didn't say he couldn't have help. Den's mouth twitched oddly.
Then that's not the vampire bringing the rose to us, is it? That's you doing it.
She lifted her chin. It's him delegating. Sebastian put his hand on her knee.
Any wrongdoing is my own. It was my idea. Tessa merely went along with what I suggested.
Den smiled thinly.
I know my daughter better than that, vampire. It was her idea, wasn't it?
Sebastian frowned.
Yes.
But how else did you expect it to happen? No vampire alive can withstand the sun without magic to aid him. The task you set forth was impossible. Magna stared at her hands while Den nodded. He cleared his throat before answering.
It was. And technically you failed.
Tessa came half out of her seat. I will not marry that! Den lifted his hand.
Let me finish.
She sat down, clearly angry but willing to listen. Den smiled.
You did well, both of you. Neither of you is willing to let the other suffer, and so you banded together to find a way to accomplish the impossible. Even if that meant breaking the rules. You technically failed the challenge, but technicality isn't what the challenge was about. It was about seeing how much you two mean to each other and what lengths you're willing to go to protect each other.
Tessa leaned forward. Are you saying? Magna finally looked up, smiling. You won. You did it, together, the way it was meant to be done.
Den stood and stuck his hand out.
Welcome to the family, vampire.
A little dumbstruck, Sebastian stood and shook the man's hand.
That was quite the test.
Den shrugged.
When you have a daughter, come talk to me.
2 days later, Sebastian and Tessa walked into room 210 at Nocturne Falls General Hospital. Hugh met them at the door, his voice slightly above a whisper.
Good of you to cut your trip short.
Sebastian squeezed his brother's shoulder and answered in the same low tones.
Wasn't even a question. We came as soon as we could.
Delaney waved at them from the bed.
Come meet your nephew, Sebastian. You too, Tessa.
Tessa hugged the teddy bear they'd brought back from Paris. She went to the bedside and glanced down at the beautiful creature cradled in Delaney's arms, and her heart clenched with love. His little eyes were closed, and tiny dark lashes rested on pink cheeks. He's absolutely perfect. Delaney beamed down at him. Yes, he is. I'd let you hold him, but he's sleeping. Don't worry about that, Tessa said. She put the bear on the small table that held more stuffed animals and several large flower arrangements. I'll get my chance. Sebastian joined Tessa as Hugh came around to the other side of the bed.
What's his name?
George Charles Ellingham, Hugh answered.
Sebastian nodded.
After our grandfather and father. Very nice. Handsome lad. Well done, you two.
Delaney lifted her head to smile at Hugh.
I couldn't be happier.
Nor I, my love, he answered.
She turned to face them again and suddenly let out a gasp.
Tessa!
Tessa jerked back. What, did I do something wrong? I don't know anything about babies. Delaney laughed.
You didn't do anything wrong, except fail to mention that you got engaged. Is that a ring on your finger?
Tessa sucked in a relieved breath.
Yes, it's a ring. We're officially engaged.
Sebastian put his arm around her.
No date set yet, but we're just happy to have gotten this far.
Hugh gave them a curious look.
You make it sound like getting engaged was a struggle.
He grinned at Tessa.
Put up a fight, did you?
She smiled gamely and took a breath.
Let's just say it was more of a
trial,
Sebastian offered. She nodded.
More of a trial than either of us anticipated.
Sebastian met my parents.
Ah, Hugh said. The picture becomes clearer.
Sebastian leaned in.
Let's just say having Eleonora and Tessa's father at the wedding
might prove interesting. Hugh raised a brow at Tessa. Is that so?
She shook her head. I don't even want to think about it. All I want to think about right now is this sweet little baby.
And when she and Sebastian might have one of their own.
But I suppose we should let you get some rest, Delaney.
She nodded. Thanks. But you two must be jet-lagged. I'm so glad you came to see us, though.
Sebastian put his arm around Tessa and straightened.
It's not every day you become an uncle now, is it?
Delaney smiled.
We'll be home tomorrow, and you're welcome to come over any time you like after we get settled. We can babysit, too, Tessa offered.
Hugh laughed.
Oh, you might be sorry you offered that.
Never, Tessa said. She gave Delaney a little wave. See you soon.
Delaney wiggled her fingers. See you soon. Sebastian opened the door for Tessa, and they slipped out into the hall. He took her hand as they walked to the elevator.
How do you...
Do you think...
He laughed. You first.
No, go ahead.
They stopped at the elevator, and he pushed the button before answering.
I was going to ask how you feel about children. It's not something we've ever really discussed.
I would love to have children. But is that possible for us?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Will you be disappointed if it isn't?
That depends.
On?
The doors opened, and they got on. She waited until they closed. Neither of them pressed the button for the lobby, seemingly content to finish this conversation in the privacy of the elevator.
How do you feel about adoption?
He was quiet for a long moment.
I never thought I would marry again. Then you came into my life, and everything changed. I never thought I could be this happy. That life could have color and meaning again. If we can't have children because our physiologies are too different, then we can't, and that's that. But to have such an amazing life as we do, and not share that with a child who might not otherwise have a chance to be loved, seems wrong.
Love squeezed her heart again.
Just one?
His smile was gentle.
How many would you like?
She shrugged.
More than one.
He reached out and tapped the button for the lobby.
Takes four to make up a fencing team.
She nodded, joy bubbling up inside her. Okay, that's a good number. He laughed as the elevator doors opened.
Plus, it'll give us a fighting chance. No pun intended.
They walked out together. Twilight crept over the horizon, casting long purple shadows over the cars in the parking lot.
A fighting chance? Against what?
He took her hand.
Your parents and my grandmother? We need enough grandchildren to distract them.
She chuckled.
You really believe in planning ahead, don't you?
It's gotten me this far, hasn't it?
He stopped in the middle of the parking lot and kissed her, hungry for the woman who was very soon to be his forever. He held her close. She was his everything. He would endeavor to show her that every day for the rest of their lives. When he finally broke the kiss, she put her arms around his neck.
It has gotten you quite a ways, and when we get home, it's going to get you a lot further.
She winked at him.
All the way, actually.
His body tightened in response to her words.
In that case, I'm going to drive like a Parisian.
How's that?
He grinned at her.
Very, very fast.
This has been The Vampire's True Love Trials, a Nocturne Falls short, written by Kristen Painter, narrated by B.J. Harrison. Copyright 2016 by Kristen Painter. Production copyright 2017 by Kristen Painter.